Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Play Staple.
Presented by Ben.
Nice, they're scrubbing that.
Welcome, one and all, roll up!
Roll up to the Carnival of Games here at Thumb Cram's. That's right! Come into the big tent to see what gaming marvels are here for you!
It's a gaming freak show! We've got
we are the ringleader.
That's right, in a game that rides a horse in a cool way.
And this game smokes cigarettes.
We know what goes into a circus.
And we know what goes into games because welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game review podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And today we are joined by a very special guest and a guy who makes games.
Whoa.
He maker the game. He come on to the podcast. Yeah. It's Ethan Taylor.
That's so crazy.
That is crazy.
That's wild.
Messed up, dude.
Yeah. It's hectic stuff. welcome to the circus that is games.
Yeah. Thank you. The greatest show on earth.
Always good to be here at the circus.
Yeah, it's good.
It is a circus.
It's a great circus. And this circus is made to celebrate PlayStaple, presented by Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
And in honor of Ben and PlayStaple, and Ethan just saluted, which was sick. Jackson, what are we looking at today?
Today, we are looking at Crash Twin Sanity, Rugrats Search for Raptor, Beast Wars for the PS1, Primal for the PS2, and Jack and Daxter for the PS2.
And other games!
So we finally get the PlayStation 2 working. It's all sorted.
Yeah.
I got a little HDMI connector so I can play it on my big TV where it looks like shit.
Yeah.
Because the games were not designed for a TV that big, which is awesome.
Yeah.
We have a PlayStation 2 memory card, not a PlayStation 1 memory card. So I can't save any of the PlayStation 1 games, which is also awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
It's really good. Last night I got most of the way through Rugrats Search for Raptor, and then I was like, I gotta go to bed. And so I enough. Like, I'm not beating this game. All right, so yeah, in honor of PlayStaple and to make up for the last 3 weeks, I've not reviewed a single PlayStation game.
It's been a journey. It's been like when Jesus went to the desert or whatever he did for 40 days, I think. You too went to the desert, but the desert was trying to get a PS2.
Yeah, exactly, and I finally did it, and I'm going to bring us home. I'm going to bring us across the finish line with just heaps of games.
A PlayStaple bonanza.
PlayStaple.
A PlayStaple bonanza.
It's a bonanza.
All right. What's up first in your bonanza?
I'll do it in order of when I played them.
Okay.
So the first game I played for some reason was a game called Primal for the PS2.
Well, that's fair because in the games that we got from Ben, Primal always stopped me in my tracks too. I was like, something about Primal was tricking something in my brain, being like, is this one of those like lesser played but really acclaimed games. Yeah. And then we were both like, no, I think maybe sucks. I don't know.
And I think I got it confused with possibly, is there a game called Primal Roar where you turn into a like a beast when you, like a fighting game? I'm often thinking about Primal Roar.
All the time.
It's because I played it. I used to know these dirtbags.
Yeah.
When I lived in the desert. And they left the desert, but then we went to their house not in the desert.
Yeah.
And they were dirtbags still, but they'd gotten only dirtbaggier. But they had a GameCube, and I played Primal Roar there.
Yeah, I think it's called Primal Roar.
One of them talked about smoking weed and riding a bike. He said it was hard to do. Anyway.
In the game?
No. While I was playing Primal Roar. Okay. He was like, you ever smoked weed? I was like, I'm 10. And he's like, it's hard to ride a bike when you've smoked weed. I was like, that's cool. He was the same guy that stabbed a cockroach with a stick and then like let it die for a week and he would just go check it periodically.
That's sick.
They were full dirtbags.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's awesome. Primal Roar is a Jurassic dinosaur era
game.
That's a single player VR game.
Not the game I'm thinking of.
Yeah. What are you, Primal Fury?
Maybe. Anyway, so Primal the game. Here's the setup. You are a woman dying, okay? And then you become a ghost. And a horrible little troll man is like, who sounds like he's voiced by James Earl Jones, but surely can't.
Surely not.
It's like, welcome to the spirit world. Follow me to the gates of oblivion. You go into a hell realm, and he's like, wear these gauntlets, which do nothing. And then you've got to go to the four realms of oblivion to restore order to chaos. The opening cutscene feels like it goes for half an hour. I know it can't. It surely is not the case, but it feels like it goes for half an hour. You can play as either the lady, whose name is Jen, or the horrible little gargoyle, whose name is Scree.
Scree's a great name.
It's an awesome name for a gargoyle. You, as Jen, can... You kind of have different abilities, sort of, but I guess because it's a PlayStation 2 game, those abilities don't feel very special. Like, as Jen, you can shimmy along walls, and you can fight guys, sort of. And as Scree, you can pick up a torch to scare off monsters, and you can also climb on walls sometimes. I played this game for like half an hour to maybe 40 minutes.
So you played 10 minutes of the game, watched 30 minutes of the cutscene.
That's what it felt like. Maybe it was more than that. I don't know. Apparently, later in the game, as Jen, you can become four demons. I never got to that part. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
But the game was tedious. I had a lot of cutscenes. So I'm going to say two thumbs for Primal. I'm going to power through them. I played a lot of games.
It's nice to know the game gets cool.
Yeah. Apparently, eventually. It gets awesome down the track. I have the feeling that there's a lot of Primal fans in listening right now who are like, you didn't play it long enough. It's got the vibes of like somebody's favorite game. Yeah, Primeheads. The Primeheads out there. They're like, you didn't even watch as Scree unlocks his true abilities. I think Scree can become Satan or something. I don't know. Anyway, Crash to Insanity. This is a game I always wanted to play as a kid. I remember playing it at a Kmart. You know, like Kmart used to be able to...
Dude, I don't know if this changes. I'm so sorry to interrupt. But,
that's okay, dude.
In the overrated/underrated section of the official U.S. PlayStation magazine in the September 2004 issue, they actually had... Jennifer as an underrated hot chick.
Whoa!
I don't know if that changes.
She's absolutely a 2002 babe. Like, she's got, like, you know, like 2002 babe energy?
Yeah.
That's Jen. You know, she's kind of cool, but, like, also a bit sexy. Yeah.
Yeah, this is an insane thing to know came from the official U.S. PlayStation magazine. Cited the game's protagonist as an underrated hot chick, saying she's smart, she's funny, she hangs out in biker bars, she's good in a fight, and she's got a really good butt. In the same article, Scree was likewise cited as an underrated sidekick, saying, this is the way to make a memorable sidekick. Make him dignified, make him funny looking, and make him useful.
Yeah, well, look, they're right. Jen, a hottie. Look her up.
Eurogamer said it's got a rank combat system.
What is that? Rank bad or rank good?
Well, a rank combat system, quirky camera, and the lack of inspiration the game's exploration slash puzzle core make this game hard work.
Yeah, it's not super fun. But I hear it gets good.
Jennifer Tate. That feels like a real life person.
Absolutely, you're going to get someone real. Jennifer Tate Primal, surely that'll give you a... And you can see what Scree looks like, too.
Yeah.
He looks horrible. He's a horrible little guy. You found him?
Whoa, Jen Tate was in...
Huh?
I got tricked by a fan fiction website. I was like, whoa, Jennifer Tate's in PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, but no,
that's somebody's fan fiction that...
Oh, I wish.
PlayStation All-Stars fan fiction Royale.
That's awesome. That's good stuff.
That's like the most insane game to have fan fiction for.
Yeah, I wonder if it is a rude one.
Oh, surely. Oh. Surely, dude.
And they, instead of fighting, they kiss.
Yeah.
They kiss on the lips.
And the neck.
And
dude.
The neck.
It's
and
saucy.
They suck each other off.
It got too saucy for me.
Whoa. That's, yeah, it's fanfic to, it's just game fanfic. And they've written, like,
yeah, have you ever gone to the,
move set?
There's, like, a whole fanfiction website about fake Mario games. But like, just as if they're like you go to Mario Kart 9, it'll have like list of playable characters. It'll have like the story. It's just something people do.
That's so good.
It's good on them.
Do you want to make up Mario 10 right now?
Yeah,
Mario,
right. Mario 10 is
Mario Kart. 10.
Mario Kart 10.
Okay,
who's in it?
Mario, Luigi,
Luigi, yeah.
Bowser.
Bowser.
There's 125 guys. I've decided.
Okay, Mario, Luigi, Bowser, Peach, Toad,
Dry Bones,
Daisy, Piranha Pete.
Koopa,
Trooper,
Paratrooper,
Bullet Bill, Shy Guy,
Miyamoto's
in it, dude. Donkey Kong, the cast of Donkey Kong 64. Yeah. They're in one car.
We're in it.
Tom Cramps is in it. With Ethan.
Yeah. Metroid Prime's in it.
Yeah. Metroid Prime. The bongos from Donkey Kong.
You can be the bongos. And when you select it with the character selector and you go,
yeah, it's good.
It's good. You could be
Mario Kart 10.
You can be the game. DK Speedway. It's a level, but you can pick it as a racer.
Spike's in it. Foreman Spike.
Hey, I was thinking about this the other day. So you know there's Foreman Spike.
Yeah.
But there's also a guy in Mario called Spike.
Yeah.
Who's like a little toad dude.
Yeah.
Is that the same guy?
Surely not.
Did he get messed up by a Mario race?
Are you
whatever?
The same as every Jack?
No, fair point.
Yeah. I don't know if you... So there's a video game called Jack and Daxter, and maybe we'll get to it later. In fact, you've already said you played it, so I don't need to
I will get to it.
Yeah, I don't need to be coy.
I'm not Jack from Jack and Daxter. Yeah. He's silent. I'm annoying.
Yeah.
Anyway, Crash to Insanity. We got to power through these. Yeah. I got five to get through. So Crash to Insanity is a game I always wanted to play.
Yeah.
I played all the Crashes. They're fun games.
You played all of the Crashes.
Crash 1, 2, and 3.
Ooh.
Oh, all of them, dude. You know that made 4, yeah?
What?
It's about time.
Damn.
Which is a description of the game and its name.
They also made Crash Clash of the Titans, or possibly Crash of the Titans, and this a second one, and one where you go to the Spyro realm. Anyway.
There's a Spyro and Crash game?
Yeah, there's a crossover. It was like Spyro... where you went in Crash Realm and Crash where you went in Spyro Realm.
When I was a kid, I thought they were from the same universe.
Fair enough. They're well, it's weird. I never realized this. But this is probably not weird. This is probably very obvious. But like Naughty Dog went on to make Jack and Daxter. Mm. And then Insomniac, who made Spyro, went on to make Ratchet and Clank. It's cool they just were like, we're just going to keep making games. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, in Crash Twinsanity...
Crash Bandicoot Purple and Spyro Orange,
yeah.
Or alternatively, if you live in Europe, which and also probably Australia, Crash Bandicoot Fusion and Spyro Fusion, two Game Boy games.
Yeah. Anyway, in Crash Twinsanity, you're Crash Bandicoot. And it starts with Neocortex in an ice block. And then he comes out of the ice block and he impersonates your sister and he's like, follow me, Crash! And he like leads you through a really typical Crash Bandicoot level. Anyway, then at the end of the Crash Bandicoot level, there's a boss. And the boss is pretty easy, but also because it's a Crash game. Like, I forget Crash games are hard and annoying. So because it's a Crash game, it's like it's difficult. It's annoying to get to the boss. It's annoying to defeat the boss. You finally do... And Neocortex gets pissed. And so you start fighting. And then you control their fight ball and you have to bring them through like a maze. But they're really slippery and they do not control in a way that feels good. Like, like some games feel bad, like you want to put down the controller.
Yeah.
That's how they control in their fight ball. And then you have to guide them through this big kind of rolling like ball maze, but it's full of, you know, in Crash, there's like nitro crates.
Yeah.
If you hit one of them, you just die.
Yeah.
And the maze is full of them, and the save points are not close together.
That's good.
And so that
should be seen as a win and a heroic sacrifice by Crash Bandicoot because he's finally defeated his enemy Neocortex.
That's true. Even though he died too.
Yeah.
He went. Yeah, you made a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you make your way through this horrible, horrible level, which took me so long and was not fun.
Yeah.
Because it's got platforming segments, even though you're moving as a slippery ball.
Do you jump?
Yeah, no, you have to roll off onto like a jumping box that propels you into the air, and then you need to land it and do that multiple times to get through the level. There are also elevators that you need to, so it'll be like a platform that will fall away if you're on it for too long,
yep.
An elevator on the other side. And you need to roll across the platform onto the elevator, but obviously you're sliding, so the amount of times you just fall off the edge or you'd fall through the pit. Awful. And anyway, the rest of the game is like a weird game where you play as both Crash and Cortex, and you're connected by a gem both of you want. And a lot of the game is like Crash throwing Neocortex at things and whipping him around. You have like a spin attack, but your spin attack's bigger because you're whipping people with Neocortex, which is pretty cool. I like the idea. I still think the idea is cool, but the gameplay was not fun. I don't remember if Crash Bandicoot was always this hard.
Crash Bandicoot 1 is a nightmare. Yeah. I haven't played 2 or 3 recently, though.
I somehow, you know, you look back in games you played as a kid and you're like, I beat that. How'd I do that? Crash Bandicoot's like that. I beat Warped, and I beat Crash 2, but like how? Those games are so hard.
Warped and Crash 2 are significantly easier.
Okay.
Warped
well,
in particular is, I think, pretty easy.
Is it? Okay. That's, yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah.
So, hey, don't flex too hard.
Calm down.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll settle.
you beat a game made for babies. Well done. But you couldn't beat Rugrats.
Yeah, well, that's not my fault.
Well, I don't know. Did
I guess
you
I could have stayed up. Baby got sleepy.
Yeah.
anyway, Crash Twinsanity, let's say 3 thumbs.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
We're working up.
We're working up. Next,
what you play next?
Next, I played Jack and Daxter.
Hey, a classic.
A classic. And such a good game. So much fun. It looks kind of shit, but I guess that's just like PS2 or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Like some games, you know. I'm excited because I've got Jack 2 and Jack 3 that's in the collection Ben gave us.
Yeah.
I played Jack 1 and 2. I finished them as a kid, but I never played Jack 3, so I'm excited for that.
We attempted to start with Jack 3 now.
Well, yeah, I thought about it, but I was like, no, let's do it in order.
You reckon you're going to play through all 3?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I got a save file for Jack 1.
How many times have you played Jack 1?
Once.
Yeah.
But I've thought about playing it again one other time. I don't need to talk about Jack. Everybody, it's a good game. It's fun. I don't think
I've played any of them.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just like a nice evolution of the 3D platformer, basically.
Is it a like collecting lots of gems game?
Yes. But, well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of got the, in a weird way, the Mario 64 thing of like, so at the beginning of the game, you got to fix a bike for various reasons.
Yeah.
And to do that, you need to get a bunch of special power cores or whatever. And to get the power cores, you just need to do like stuff around this particular level.
Yeah.
And some of those things are like connect and collect enough of this specific item to pay somebody, to pay the mayor or whatever. You fund his next campaign. And
collect
he gives you a
100
power
gems to buy, pay out the mayor to blackmail the mayor into a bike.
Yeah. Another one you're going to kill a pelican for, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it just, I don't know, it's got really, like, fun movement, feels very satisfying to play. It's very 2000s in that, so Jack, the guy you're playing as, is sort of like a silent protagonist or whatever. He's just a cool guy.
Yeah.
Daxter is your horrible friend who becomes a horrible rat.
Mm.
And he's got like kind of 2000s wise guy humor.
Wait, is he a guy that gets turned into a rat?
Yeah, he gets turned into a, I think they're called, I don't know if this is true, Otzels, maybe? Yeah.
Guy who loves Jack and Daxter explaining Jack and Daxter to his friends who don't know about Jack and Daxter. Yeah, I don't know. I think they're called like Otzels
or something like that.
I don't know.
And Jack 2, like, I can't really remember if this is true, takes place actually in the past, and that's a big twist. Spoilers for Jack 2. it takes place in the past, you find out. Or the future, I can't recall. No, I think it is the past.
Really, oh, it is an Otzel.
Yeah.
It's a combination of an otter and a weasel.
He's very annoying. He talks like this! And he's like, who are you calling little or whatever? He sucks. But because Jack doesn't talk, all you hear is Daxter the whole game, which is very annoying. So yeah,
that came out the same year as the game I'm talking about today.
Whoa.
Well, they gave Jack a gun in Jack 2.
Yeah, Jack 2 plays like a weird, clearly GTA was really popular, so big portions of the game are like Grand Theft Auto, which is cool.
It's both a sequel and a prequel to
Jack. Yeah, because it takes place in the past.
But then that makes it a prequel.
Yeah.
So some parts of it must take place in the future.
Well, yeah, because you go to the past.
Ah. It's so funny how much Jack changes.
Yeah. He gets a gun.
He gets a gun, and then he gets like...
Turn. They just put him in Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And even Daxter. Look. Yeah. Okay, so that's Jack 3.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then this is what he looks like in Jack 1.
Because, like, Jack 1 plays kind of like a...
He's slowly becoming the proportion of a real man.
Yeah.
He's growing up.
Yeah. And he's becoming the proportion of a real man, and Daxter's ears become very pointy.
Yeah. And Jack 3 is in, like, a Mad Max-style wasteland from memory and has, like, Mad Max car sections, which is pretty cool. And then Jack the Lost Frontier, which was the fourth one for the PSP, is in planes, but apparently sucks shit. I don't know. I've never played it.
And they've made Jack even more edgy-looking. Yeah. He looks like he's in Final Fantasy all of a sudden.
They get edgier and edgier and edgier as time goes on.
Oops, sorry.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
But Jack 1 is just like a really fun, solid platformer. Like, it's the kind of game you're like, oh, that's right, they don't make games like this anymore. But this is a lot of fun. And then,
Are you going to check out Daxter on the PSP?
Yeah, when I get a PSP from PSP.
Solo Daxter.
Whoa.
Spoilers.
I've never played a PSP.
Me neither. Mm. Maybe you play a PSP, I'll play an N-Gage. What do you reckon?
I don't think N-Gages would work anymore. They'd probably be like, you got to insert a Nokia SIM card or something.
Anyway, the next game that I played... And this was on Ben's recommendation.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Ben, I'm calling you out.
Ben said, hey, I've got the message here.
Yeah, read the message out, dude. I think we need the context for this game that I was forced to play.
Ben's about to get put on blast.
Ben is going to get put on blast. Get ready, Ben.
Oh.
I love what you were doing on Thumb Cramps. You can tell me to get Jeffed, but if you track down a PS1, I'd love for Jackson to play Beast Wars Transformers. It reminds me of Turok 2. If you get far enough, you can play as Rat Trap, and some levels can't be completed with certain characters due to the fact that not all characters can jump far enough.
It's crazy to me that anyone could get far enough in this game, by which I mean beyond the first level. So the game starts out great, because the start screen is like the Beast Wars logo, and it says, Beast Wars! And it's awesome. And you press start, and you're in.
Yeah, I'm hyped.
Then you get, exactly, you're hyped for Beast Wars. You get to play as either Decepticons or the Predacons. That's not right.
Not
you can either
all.
Be the good guys or the bad guys, right?
Do you know Beast Wars was called Beasties in Canada?
Why?
Canada, that's embarrassing.
So Beast Wars Transformers was called Beasties Transformers in Canada.
Why?
Did they not
want to talk about war over there?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter what you say. The Beast Wars are still at war.
Yes. Maximals and Predacons.
That's right. So you get to be a Maximal or a Predacon. Then immediately you're just slammed into a level select screen, and the only levels available to you are Desert 1 or Urban 1. Presumably you can unlock Desert 2 and 3, Urban 2 and 3, and then there's other like Pollution, Hydro something. There's a bunch of other levels. Huh? Yeah, Urban. One of them is Urban.
Isn't one of them a dinosaur?
Yeah, and I think it takes place in the past too.
Prehistoric.
But... Hey, what can you do? Then you pick the level. And also the you get like a little bit of intro where they're like, Cheetah has set up a sentry or forces or whatever. Go in there and take them out. And then if you do the good guys, it's like, Scorpio Talk is damaging the environment. Go destroy his machine. Then you are dumped into this just like the most low poly, like blank landscape you've ever seen in your life. If you want to look it up, it's worth doing. The lighting, I don't know if it was just my TV, this is the darkest game I've ever played.
Whoa.
Like, you know some games, like especially PS1 games, to save on like, you know, the processing power or whatever,
yeah,
there'll be like a lot of mist.
Yeah.
This game does darkness for that. So To save a processing power, most of the time you're in the dark except for the little area you're in. Oh, you have a mini-map, which you're like, oh, great, but it's a fog of war mini-map. So you don't know where you are or what you're looking at most of the time. The movement is R1 and L1 and L2 are strafe. If you double tap R2, you do a jump.
Wait, you jump with double tapping R2?
No, you can jump with X, but that does a strafe jump. None of this is useful. Don't do anything.
I just want to transform.
Yeah. If you press triangle, you transform, and square is to shoot.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't attack in beast
form. You cannot attack in beast form. Shooting, you cannot aim. It locks on, but the game just decides what you want to lock on. And that's especially annoying because one of the first enemies is a gun that shoots snakes. Okay? Huh. And the snakes are at your feet. And you can't shoot at your feet because the game won't lock on to the snakes. So what happens is you're just going, doo, 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 firing off wildly as you slowly die from snake bites. You are a robot gorilla. So another awesome thing is that as you fire your gun, you have two sort of like bars, right? You have an energon bar and a health bar. Now, as you fire your gun, your energon levels go down. Also, some areas in the game just lower your energon. In fact, actually, just being a robot lowers your energon. I don't know necessarily what lowers your energy. I know firing your gun does and just being a robot, but also in the first level, there are some bones that I went near and that lowered my energy on too. Bad bones, I guess.
Spirits.
When your bones lower and a very annoying voice says, energy low, transform now. Again and again and again, like maybe 5 second intervals. Then you transform. You become like a dumpy little T-Rex.
Yep.
The T-Rex is so dumpy. And then your energon, because if your energon is at zero, your health starts dropping too.
Yep.
And let's not forget that firing your gun, lowers your energon. And just being a robot, the only way you can attack, also lowers your energon.
Yeah, and so, it's a third-person shooter
game. So playing the game lowers your energon. And then once it hits zero, you start dying. So you have to transform to let it build back up again.
Yep.
Which takes about 5 minutes. Like, you just got to sit there and watch the game.
Because you can't explore, because if you find an enemy, you'll die. Or if you could find some of those bad bones as well, that would also be bad.
Exactly. So you wait, and then you go back and you fire at some more guys. Then you go back and wait.
Yep.
You can fire at some more guys. Meanwhile, you have no idea where you are.
Yeah.
Because everything is pitch black, and everything looks the same. There are snake enemies that get fired out of a gun. There are overhead enemies that you also can't target because they're above your head. So you're getting bit by snakes in the legs and shot in the top of the head. When you die, you lose that transformer. So say if you're the prime, whatever they were, the good guys, you have like gorilla, Optimus Prime, cheetah guy, dinosaur guy, rhino guy. But if you die as gorilla Optimus Prime, then you can't play him again. I think you can rescue him, but the idea of understanding the game well enough to know where to go to do that, it's not happening.
If permadeath in a Transformers game seems wild.
It's insane.
If the player fails in a mission and gets the character killed, the character can be revived by finding a minigame icon in that same level. The minigame allows the player to take control of Eraser or Pterosaur to recover the fallen ally.
Yeah, so if you can find it, but the games are these nightmare mazes, of the levels of these nightmare mazes where you don't know what's happening, and like I didn't beat any of the levels, but in one of the levels I got to the machine I had to destroy, and there are like 80 guys shooting at you, and you can't target them. You can, what often happens is you're shot in the back of the head, right? So you're like, well, I'll just whip around and shoot the guy who's moving way faster than me. But you move at a snail's pace. So as you rotate, you're getting shot, and by the time you've turned around to fire at them, you're dead. There is a quick turn, but the way that works is you have to hold down R1 and turn. And then you move way too fast. You just zoom around.
Oh, it just speeds up the turn.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. When you transform, which you need to do to get away because you're dying, you are not immune, and it takes like 30 seconds. So maybe not 30 seconds, but it takes enough time that you're going to get shot like 3 times as you transform to run away.
Yeah.
So the amount of times it would be like, energon levels low, and I'd be like, well, I better become a terrible little dumpy T-Rex, and then I die because I was shot.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace to the dumpy T-Rex. I wanted to play Rat Trap because he's a rat. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Of course.
I couldn't get far enough in the game to figure out what's going on. I found a cheat that was like, unlock all characters, didn't work. Oh. You know, back in the day, I forgot this about cheats. Some would just not be real.
Yeah.
This was one of those.
Yeah.
Which is good stuff.
It stood the test of time, though.
Exactly. Well, it's still on IGN or wherever I read it.
Well, speaking of IGN, I've pulled up IGN's review of Beast Wars Transformers.
It's good. I think it's the IGN review that's good. Is this where they call it tolerable?
No, that was something else. The IGN one, the quote, you know how like there's like the name of the game they're reviewing and there's like a pull quote. The pull quote is, no, the pain, doctor, I need something for this terrible pain. Then the opening paragraph is, there are times where I really love my job and times where I really hate it. When I get to paid to play games like Time Crisis and Tomb Raider 2, it's the best job in the world. But when I have to bite the bullet and sit down with a piece of crap like Beast Wars Transformers, I'd rather be shoveling horse manure.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's
they gave it a 2.3.
It's so bad. I forget what review. Maybe I was reading it on Wikipedia. There was one review where they were like, it's tolerable. That's not true. It's not tolerable. It's one of the worst games I've ever played.
They'll pay it off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's crazy as well because this is like an officially licensed Hasbro PlayStation game. And it came out in 1997. Mm. So, like, this is like 2 years or something into the PlayStation's life cycle. It's not like this was like a first generation.
It was the end of 97 as well.
Yeah. So, it's not like this was like an early PlayStation game, but it absolutely feels like it. I'm going to say zero thumbs for Beast Wars.
Jesus.
No thumber.
No thumber. That's rare.
And then finally, a little palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. Would you say that Beast Wars Transformers is in the running for the Wugotti?
Yeah, I think it's going to get the Wugotti, dude. Which also, obviously, Levins of Ruby have to play too.
Yeah. So the Wugotti.
It might get my Wugotti.
Worst game of the year.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, Wugotti. But it's spelled Gotti. So it's W, and then Gotti is G-O-T-T-I. The movie.
Of course.
Yeah,
I feel you.
Yeah. That's huge. Like a Wugotti.
I think it could be a Wugotti. It was.
I don't know. Like, I haven't even had a taste of a Wugotti this year.
I got depression after playing this game. I played it for a while. I think I played it for about maybe 2 hours.
Yeah.
2.5 hours.
Oh, that's too long.
And then at the end, I like put down the controller. My partner gave it a go. Yeah. She couldn't hack it.
Yeah. Jackson, you didn't have to do that.
Well, no, I mean, Ben wanted me to play this game.
It was presented by Ben and it's Ben's requested
did
by
you
Ben.
Play any of these other games for 2 hours?
No.
Not even Rugrats?
Or maybe Rugrats I played for about 2 hours.
You almost beat it.
Yeah, well, it's a very quick game.
Is that the game you're about to talk about now?
Yeah, so Rugrats came out in 1998.
Uh-huh.
So it's a year after the Beast Wars
Massive
game.
Well, improvements
not
in technology.
Because again,
even
Beast
after,
Wars
yeah,
was December 5.
End of the year. So Rugrats is great. This game has so much personality and charm. It's insane. All the original voice actors are back. That's not something that is the case for the Beast Wars game, which a lot of people complained. I don't care about Beast Wars, so it wasn't a big deal for me. But apparently, none of the voice actors are back. And you can kind of tell that, because when you transform into a beast, they go, Beast Mode! They sound like they're in a lot of pain.
They're sick.
Yeah. So in the Rugrats game, you're the Rugrats.
Mm-hmm.
You're Tommy Pickles. You're Chucky Finster. You're Phil and Lil.
Name them all.
Phil and Lil, whose last names I can't remember. Phil Dumphy? From
Phil,
Modern Family?
Yeah, Phil Dumphy.
Yeah. That's it. It's pre-Rugrats in Paris, so Chucky doesn't have a sister or a mom. So, you... that's right. You start the game, you don't know where your puzzle is, right? Shit.
Yeah.
Where's my freaking reptile puzzle? And your dad and mom come in. Your dad looks down and he's like, where's that reptile puzzle? Must be all over the house. And then he moves on. You play as Tommy and the hub world is just your house. And it's awesome. It's like the full Rugrats house. You can explore it. You walk around.
And because you're small, you love it.
Oh, no, that's not really. It's not really what I like about it. It's just a really nice hub world. And it's really charming and full of personality. It's very bright. You can kind of see everything in the house. It feels really fully realized. And then you go up to various little things in the house and they're like little mini game levels.
Yeah.
And you complete the mini game level and then you get a puzzle piece. You need to get... I forget, X amount of puzzle pieces, might be 9 to complete the game.
How many did you get when you turned it off?
I had 4 puzzle pieces to go, I think.
And you're claiming you'd almost finished the game.
Well, the levels were very easy to beat. It would have taken me like another hour to do, I reckon.
On how long to beat, it's a 2-hour game.
Yeah, well, there you go. But then, yeah, so each of these little sort of mini games, they're kind of like mini games and mini levels. So the first one that I did, Angelica... is like, hey, Tommy, I'm going to get all the Easter eggs unless you get them before me. So you got to go around the house, get all the Easter eggs.
Beast Wars is a 10-hour game.
That's insane. That's insane. I watched actually somebody play it, and like on YouTube, somebody do a full playthrough, and clearly they knew what was coming. Like, that's kind of the only way I think you can ever beat that game is if you know what to expect at every second, because otherwise it feels like you're sitting in front of the elephant's foot, you know, in Chernobyl.
Although that 10-hour run, only one person has logged it, so.
Well, there you go. Yeah, the levels are very charming in the Rugrats game. Everyone kind of feels like a little Rugrats episode. You know, one of the levels, you're in a big sort of toy store where you sneak away from your dad with Chucky Finster, who's a coward, and he's all scared, and you got to kind of like, I don't know. It was just like a very, compared to the Beast Wars game, so much love and affection was put into the Rugrats game compared to that. It was like, there was like a minor level of difficulty to some of the, like, because the levels you do in the Rugrats game are like easy, medium, hard. And some of the hard ones, I guess, were like slightly difficult, but most of the time, no big deal. And it's a very forgiving game because it's clearly designed for babies, you know. But I don't know. It was fun. It was charming. It made me want to watch the Rugrats again. And clearly it was like, if you like the Rugrats TV show, this game is a continuation of that. Whereas the Beast Wars game was like the very opposite. Like, that's one of the complaints I saw as well. A lot of people had with the Beast Wars game. They were like, it's nothing like the TV show, which on one hand, who cares? But on the other hand, like, when you've played the Rugrats. Anyway, Rugrats game, 5 thumbs. It was awesome.
Beautiful.
I had a great time with it. And those are all, I think, my PlayStation games for PlayStapril.
That's a big PlayStapril.
It's a huge PlayStapril.
A Bronanza.
A Bronanza of PlayStapril games.
Did you enjoy your time with the PlayStation?
I had a blast. I put a little cushion on the floor, sat cross-legged on it, held the controller in my sweaty palm.
Yeah.
And I went gamer mode.
That's good.
It was lovely. It's been a lovely PlayStapril.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, to continue PlayStapril, I actually went back to the PS2 as well.
Whoa.
Because there was a game that we were speaking about. I can't remember if it was on air or off air or in the air. I don't know. The conversation happened at some point,
yeah,
where we were talking about Silent Hill 2.
Oh, yeah.
And it turns out that I had a copy I could acquire.
Ooh.
That sounds like I bought it. No, I just meant in my house there
sounded
was
like
a copy.
You stole it,
yeah.
To me.
Well, it was in my house and I didn't know it was there. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think one of my housemates' games. And yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, hell yeah, I'll fire up Silent Hill 2. So this week I've been playing a lot of Silent Hill 2, and it rocks so hard.
Hell yeah.
Made me feel like my brain was going wrong at points. It's scary.
Oh, that's good.
That's so good.
I didn't realize with Silent Hill 2, I don't know if the other Silent Hill games do this as much, but it does like a lot of the stuff that like the Eternal Darkness game is famous for. Mm. It doesn't do things that are like...
Your game's broken,
but it's like there's a lot of like, oh, your character's losing their mind.
Ah, cool.
Basically, the plot of the game is your wife has died from an illness, and then you get a letter from her being like, come to Silent Hill, meet me here, I'm here, you have to come meet me.
Okay, babe.
And he's like,
sign
all right.
Your dead wife.
Yeah, yeah. He loved his dead wife.
He loved his dead wife. Still a wife guy.
Yeah. Then you go to Silent Hill, the town. The game starts with you in a truck stop toilet.
Oh,
which,
cool.
Which is awesome.
That's great. What a cool place to be.
Yeah, so you're looking in the mirror being like, what's going on? Why did I...
my mind.
Yeah, it's like, you've basically been like, I have to be sure. She's like, she was sick, but like, maybe it's all good.
Maybe she's in this town I hear about.
Yeah. Then you leave the truck stop toilet. You walk through the countryside, through a graveyard. You meet another person who's like, I got called to Silent Hill. I have to be here, but the town's wrong. And he's like, yeah, I got to find my wife, but I was summoned here too in a similar way. You make your way into the town and it is foggy.
Yeah. That was one of the complaints, I think. I was chatting, maybe this was the same conversation, where when they did a HD re-release for Silent Hill 2, they got rid of the fog.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, because they were like, well, that was, it's why the Transformers game was pitch black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because they were like, well, we need to save on processing power or whatever. So in Silent Hill, they used mist. Which is awesome, because it makes it way spookier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then for the HD re-release or whatever, they were like, well, we no longer have that limitation.
And everyone's like, oh, I can see the entire town now.
You
so,
wrecked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think I would probably be... Like, I haven't looked into walkthroughs or anything like that, so I don't have a proper sense. I just know that it's a roughly like an 8, ish hour game, and I've played it for three, but I also got lost for a little bit, so that three might,
How's the, like, PlayStation-ness of it? Like, does it feel, like, obviously going to feel a bit dated, but, like,
some PlayStation games,
you're like, well, this is actually largely unplayable today.
Well, I thought that was going to be the case, because it's tank controls, so it plays, like, it's fixed camera, but it actually feels better than the old Resident Evil games. It's a little bit, I think it's also because there's a run button.
Oh, yeah. That makes all the world a difference.
Yeah, so the run button means that with the tank controls, you can kind of just hold run and, like, it. Yeah, when you turn and stuff like that, it's not too big. Like, it doesn't, you don't get stuck, basically, and you can avoid enemies still.
Did you ever play Dino Crisis?
No.
That's the kind of third forgotten child of that Silent Hill.
They made Dino Crisis, Dino Crisis 2, and then a third.
The third one was in space.
Yeah.
I played Dino Crisis years and years and years ago. And there's a bit where you've got to enter a code to get into a door. And I feel like the code is something like T-Rex or Chomp. And you enter it in, and then a giant T-Rex head explodes in to try and eat you. That's awesome.
That is awesome. That's
bring back good. Dino Crisis.
Yeah, I mean,
people
think this
have been begging for it.
Yeah, I'm ready for a Crisis
and no
of
one's
dinosaurs.
Listening.
Who was it made by? Capcom?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like it is the third misbegotten child of Capcom.
But yeah, because they made Dino Crisis, Dino Crisis 2. Dino Crisis 2 ends with a cliffhanger, and then Dino Crisis 3 ignores it, and it's set 300 years afterwards.
Yeah, that's
and was
awesome.
Exclusive to Xbox and sucks.
Yeah, I don't think it was very well liked. It was a
reception
completely
51 out of 100 on Metacritic.
Oh, okay.
That's bad. You said okay, like, oh, it was
majority
wrong.
Majority though.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
The Konami criticism was the camera system, which was named by IGN as the worst camera ever.
Oh my god.
The problem was due to the high speeds that the player can frequently travel at. What? That sentence. What? That isn't a sentence.
What is it?
The problem was due to the high speeds that the player can frequently travel at.
Well, yeah, so the problem was due to the speeds that the player could.
But what was the problem?
The camera.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. What was the problem?
The camera problem was presumably that you were traveling too fast and the camera was freaking out or something like that.
See, you don't know, because the sentence doesn't say.
Silent Hill 2, I had a demo of Silent Hill 2 when I was a kid on one of those demo discs. You got like a packet of cereal or whatever the hell. Silent Hill 2 is scary. It does a good job of being unnerving.
So the save points of the game are little red notes.
Oh, yeah.
And the first one you find is in a well, and it triggers kind
Wells
of like
scary.
It triggers like a in-game sort. It's not really a cutscene, but it like there's dialogue and stuff like that. And your character says, "What is this? It feels like it's groping my brain." And I was like, whoa, that's not good. I used a walkthrough at the very start of the game just to try and get a feel for what the game expected from me, I guess.
I think from the Silent Hill games, what difficulty are you playing it on?
Normal.
Because I think the puzzles are different depending on your difficulty
level. Yeah, so, and there's two difficulty levels as well. Yeah. Like, as in, like, there's two difficulty gauges. There's combat and puzzles.
Mm.
But I don't think it's called puzzles. It's called, like, it's called riddles.
That's
awesome. It's combat and riddles.
That's not what they are.
But yeah, so basically, like, the very start of the game is very linear.
Yeah.
You get to Silent Hill, the town, and it's a city. There's a map you get at the very start of the game, too, which is handy because it turns out this game, the map, very important.
I can imagine.
And because of the fog, you can only see like a little bit in front of you. So if you're at like a crossroad, you can't tell what is in either direction.
Yeah.
So it was really easy to get turned around and get confused until I realized how easy it was to look at the map. But then also, and the map also does cool stuff. It's a good map because it's like it marks down like locked doors or broken doors and stuff like that. So you're like, oh, okay, I can't go that way, and I've been that way. Mm. But also on the map, it's like drawn on, so it's like
that's nice. That's a nice, nice addition.
Like and occasionally there's stuff on the map where you're like, I don't know what, like there'll just be a circle. It's like, did I see something?
Have you been to the school yet? The school that's the school from Kindergarten Cop?
I haven't been to the school that's the school from Kindergarten Cop. I'm still in the apartment building.
Fair enough.
Looked at the very first puzzle, because basically what happens is you meet your first, I don't know what the bad guys in the game are called. Pyramid Head's one of them.
Yeah.
I've met Pyramid Head. I hate Pyramid Head.
They're just monsters, aren't they?
Yeah, I met my first monster, and they give you a plank of wood with a nail in it to kill it.
That's awesome.
And then you pick up a radio which detects if there's monsters, and it detects the monsters by blasting static at
you. That's awesome. Static's so scary.
You just be walking through, no music, no sound effects, just step, 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 and then you get...
Time to get out of town.
Because of the locked camera, I can't see what's in front of me. They do it to spooky effect constantly.
Because the camera sort of follows you in different set sort of situations. Like if you're going down a corridor, it'll sort of trail with you, but at a fixed angle.
Yeah, and like sometimes, so there's like one area in the apartment building where it's a fixed camera, and as you walk, the camera starts angling up, so you get a bit of the ceiling, and I'm like,
something's going to drop down on me.
Well, no, it also feels like it's like, your brain's a little bit like, whoa, this is like making me feel not dizzy, but like disorientated.
Yeah.
And there's also like some corridors and stuff like that where they're just like slightly askew and you're like, why? No. You're making me, it's all spooked up.
Do you reckon the remake's going to be good?
I hope so, but I don't know.
I feel like this is
good. Like, it will be hard to make this type of game now because they'll be really tempted. So there is like, you can have a lot of combat encounters. You can fight every monster if you want. You get a gun pretty early.
Yeah.
And I was finding heaps of bullets and I was like, maybe combat's like way more encouraged than I thought.
No.
The bullets you find packs of 10.
Yeah.
Takes about 12 to kill an enemy. And aiming is annoying because obviously tank controls.
Yeah.
And the enemies, you put like 6 bullets in them, they drop to the ground, and then they scurry around on the ground and run away.
Oh, that's scary.
And then if you don't kill them, They'll just stand back up.
Yeah, I feel like, because like the Resident Evil 2 remake was really good. Like, that's a great game, but it you just lose something with good graphical fidelity, it feels like. You know, that PlayStation 1 vibe, there's something very unsettling about it.
It's a PS2 game.
Oh, it was Resident Evil 2 a PS2 game?
Oh, no. I mean, sorry. Silent Hill 2 is a PS2
game. Silent Hill 2. Oh, that's crazy. Maybe I've only had a demo of Silent Hill 1. Maybe I'm getting them confused.
Yeah.
But still, that like lower graphical quality makes the game scarier, I think.
Yeah.
Like, Resident Evil 1's an easy... Well, Resident Evil is an easier one to translate. But like Silent Hill's really hard because it's got that Silent Hill world part where everything's rusted and torn away.
Yeah.
And it works because it's like the same 5 textures.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just going to be noise.
Yeah, and like,
high fidelity.
Also, like, in Silent Hill 2, it doesn't matter that, like, stuff looks bad because your character is losing their mind.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, to do that in, like, a PS5 game, it will be tricky.
It's gonna be tough. I mean, I think it'll still probably be scary. It just won't be the same kind of scary.
Here's how your health is told to you. When you press pause, there's a status screen, which is what you were just looking at. And it's like a still photo, basically.
Oh, okay.
And if you've been hurt, it's like a bit staticky, but like moving static. So it's a still photo, but the static's moving on the thing. And then if you're about to die in game, when you unpause the game, your controller's throbbing.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad.
And the photo is very, very staticky to the point we can't really see what's going on. And it's got like a red tinge to it.
So does that mean to check your health, you need to like pause the game?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm in a big apartment complex. I found a note that was like, hey, man, remember Uncle David? He's got the key for the room. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Go find him. And remember, here's where the key is. And I went to go look and I was like, it's not here. Oh, also finding items in this game is a bit wild because a lot of the items are in world of this. So in the game, say you find health, it's the same size in comparison to how your character is. So like a health drink is just like a small bottle.
Oh, damn.
And there's no like glowing icon or anything.
So you kind of
got a little glint or anything.
Nope, no glint.
You gotta rely on like a context sensitive.
Your character looks at items. So if you walk into a room and there's an item, your character's head turns to
it.
Oh, damn. That's a kind of cool idea, though.
But also does the same thing with enemies. So sometimes your character turns their head off screen. Well, your character will turn their head and look at something that you can't see, and you're like, oh, no!
Damn.
There's a couple of jump scares I've experienced so far. Found a flashlight, and then when I turned it on, Guy was behind it, and I was like,
"That's good." Oh no.
Yeah, you meet characters that are all just like wrong.
Oh yeah.
I met a guy who was thrown up in a toilet and his ass was out.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was plumb as crack, like in a lot of it. He's wearing a backwards hat and throwing up in a toilet. And he's like, "Oh, I didn't kill him, man." Oh yeah, that's right, cuz I go into a room.
Yeah.
Normal. Leave the room, do another thing, come back to the room. TV's on and staticky, and there's a person that's been stabbed just sitting in the chair.
Cool stuff.
And then you find this guy and he's like, "I didn't do it. I didn't kill anyone." He's throwing up and you're like, "What's going on?" Mm. He doesn't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, Silent Hill 2 rocks. I'm going to keep playing it. Mm. Another scary thing is the sound. So some parts of the game, no soundtrack. Yeah. Other parts of the game, normal-ish soundtrack. Other parts of the game, hectic, scary soundtrack.
Industrial noise.
Oh, no.
But doesn't necessarily mean anything. Sometimes you can go into a room and it's just like, hits you with like, it sounds like a piano falling down the stairs, basically, and there's just nothing in the room. And you're like, oh no.
Have I not played Silent Hill 4 where you're living in an apartment and find a hole in the wall and go in the hole?
The thing, I've had a same sort of experience I had with BioShock that I'm having with Silent Hill where, for some reason, I just want to play the last one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I wanted to play Infinite before the other BioShocks.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, all right. That worked out for me. I like Infinite. But I really want to play Silent Hill 4, The Room, excuse me.
That's right.
That's also a PS2 game.
Before the other ones. Yeah, they really pushed it to the end.
Yeah. Because it's just, Silent
Hill
4
is really good.
Yeah, it's good and weird. Like,
weird.
You don't go to it, well, you do go to Silent Hill briefly, I think, but it's like, you're in an apartment with you wake up with the door chained or something.
Yeah, then there's a hole in the locks and chains over the door.
And you're like, whoa, you go into your bathroom, go through a hole in the wall into the sewers? I don't
something
know.
Outside world.
In Silent Hill 2, I had to move a clock and there was a hole in the wall and then I climbed through the hole in the wall. That was good.
That's awesome. Good.
And then that's where I went into a room that was bad. there's also a point where you're looking at a map, you're like, oh, I got a key to the fire escape. You open the door and it's...
Ghouls?
No, there's nothing. It's a wall. You open the door to a wall.
Okay, cool.
They gotcha.
Walk through a window. He's like, oh, I guess they removed the fire escape when they built the apartment. I'm like, something's wrong.
It's not that simple.
Then you step into the room through a window, and then there's a bed in there that's covered in blood and broken glass. You're like, what's going on?
Cool stuff.
Silent Hill 2, great game. Yeah. I will say 4 thumbs and a knock, only losing a knock because of its datedness. But also, you know what? No, actually, what am I talking about? 7 thumbs.
Whoa!
It's in contention of my game of the year.
That's
probably
exciting.
Won't end up being my game
but
of the year.
It
could be.
Yeah.
It's so good. And every time I think about it or talk about it, I want to go play it again. But I am in an area that was like, when I stopped playing it, had frustrated me a bit because I'd gotten lost.
That's the kind of the one thing with those old kind of like tank controlled PlayStation third person shooters,
survival
horror games where it's a bit obtuse occasionally.
Yeah.
So it can.
And I haven't used a walkthrough, like I said, except for that very first puzzle, which I don't even think I explained what I did. Basically, it was just like, where do I go now? And it was like, oh, you've got to find the key to the apartment and get into the apartment.
Absolutely.
And then I was like looking at the map and I was like, oh, actually, it's not asking that much of me.
I think, look, if it's going to improve your enjoyment of the game, using a walkthrough is fine. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm usually against them because I feel like that if, like, I'm not getting better at a game.
Yeah. I think for me, I'll use a walkthrough if I'm, like, at a point where I've tried so many different things that I've become frustrated.
Well, that's what I mean. With this Silent Hill 2 part, if I stay lost, I'll just look it up because basically I found a puzzle that I need a thing to solve.
Yeah.
The puzzle, it's like, hey, there's 5 holes and you've got to arrange the coins in a certain order where it's like, the bastard cannot be next to the wench. whilst the wench is on the far right, this child soldier must be 2 spots. And I'm like, cool.
Now that's a riddle.
Yeah.
That's a riddle.
That's
riddle
a normal riddle. So I'm up to that part. But then I've also got to find this key from this guy, Uncle David, or whatever his name was. But then I'm also in an area that I didn't explore properly that I kind of skipped because I had 2 keys at the same time.
Yeah.
And I used, like, so the keys are labeled and they're like, this opens this area, this opens this area. And I think the game wanted me to go to the area I'm in now first. So I need to explore this area a little bit more to make sure that the coins or whatever aren't in here.
Yeah, fair.
And if I can't find anything, yeah, I'll probably look at a walkthrough because I want to keep playing it.
But that's the thing.
You get stuck. Because there's so many enemies now, like, I'm not shooting them because I need to save my bullets in case because I don't know what is...
What's coming.
So exploring the same areas over and over again is kind of annoying because... Mm. I'm like, all right, not only do I have to explore, but I got to run past these guys who are vomiting at me.
Yeah,
they
throw
up on you.
That's
good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, seven thumbs. Excited to keep playing it. Shout out to the PS2 and PlayStapril. Thank you, Ben. And Silent Hill 2 being really good is making me think that I should definitely play Metal Gear Solid because that'll definitely be good.
Yeah.
Ben sent us those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All four of them. Well, there's five of them, but he sent us the four that were available.
Yeah, yeah.
I have all the Metal Gear Solids now, which is funny.
Whoa, that's crazy.
They gave me too many. Too many Metal Gear Solid games. So, Ethan, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Tron Identity for the Switch.
Whoa. That's the Tron game that recently came out that was confusing to everyone because they were like,
Why would you make a visual novel of Tron?
Because turns out it kind of works for it. So, yeah, Tron Identity is a visual novel style, like, narrative mystery game set in the Tron universe, and it's sort of, you play as Query, who is a disciple of Tron, which I think is an original thing for the game. Basically a detective that follows the teachings and lessons of Tron the guy from the movie Tron.
I forget Tron's a guy. I think Tron's the place. That's not true.
Oh, wait, is Tron a guy?
Yeah, Tron's they don't go guy. Into Tron.
The place is the grid.
They go into the grid and meet Tron.
Whoa, who's Tron?
Tron's a guy. Tron's a savior.
Is Jeff Bridges Tron?
No,
he made Tron.
Jeff Bridges
Tron.
Is Flynn. He I know more about Tron, Tron than I thought. Jeff Bridges made Tron, went into Tron, met Tron, which is in the grid. And
then I gotta watch Tron.
Tron saved everyone.
Yeah.
From who? Okay.
It's too long to explain.
I think. Is Clue in only in Legacy? There's the MCP, the Master Control Program, which is that big red face.
Yeah.
He's in Kingdom Hearts, too.
Whoa.
Also, I don't know which Kingdom Hearts it is. Yeah. I shouldn't put a number on it.
Yeah, fair.
But yeah, you play as a disciple of Tron, basically a detective following the teachings of Tron and sort of searches for the truth but doesn't intervene on things. And you've been called to this place, and I forgot what it's called, but it's a big... building full of books.
Is it NCOM?
It's
NCOM's
not NCOM.
A place
NCOM
in the first
a place.
One.
Let me Google this because I feel like this is important.
Yeah.
I want to get the names right. Oh, no, I'm looking at Beast Wars again. Jesus Christ.
Oh, no.
Tron Identity. And I'm spelling it wrong. I keep calling
Tron.
It Tron Legacy.
Are you
also.
Like looking up the plot of Tron now, JD?
I was, but then I got scared, and then I was like, I should just watch it.
You got scared. Yeah. It's not too much. It's like two movies.
Yeah, watch
no,
Tron.
I got scared
You've
because I don't know who. I didn't know Tron's a guy.
Yeah, Tron's a guy.
I knew the grid was the place, but I thought that was also being Tron'd or whatever.
It's called the Repository. So
the Repository
is a place.
Is that in the grid?
Yeah, it's in our grid. It's in the grid. If it's the grid from the movie, I don't know.
So all of Tron Identity is set within
the computer.
The computer. You're not a guy. You're a computer program.
You're a computer. Yeah. So you're a program. Everyone's programs. There's no users that you sort of come across. They're all programs. But you've been called there because there's. Something has happened. There's been an incident.
Tron's
you
gone wrong.
You work for Core, which is a thing I didn't know what it is, but I guess it's like a company thing or just consuming control over the grid.
Uh-huh.
You get sent there. There's been an explosion at the repository.
Oh,
okay.
No.
An explosion in... No, I almost said Tron in the grid.
Tron. And something may have been stolen.
How do you go
stolen.
In Tron and meet Tron?
Well, Tron's...
Tron's the game, and Tron's the guy, but Tron is not the
place. It's like going in Mario and then meeting Mario.
Yeah, you go into Mario.
So the game's called Tron as well.
The game's called Tron.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's named after the guy. So going into Super Mario Brothers and meeting the Super Mario
Brothers. Yeah, that's kind of what Tron's like.
Going into Donkey Kong.
And going to New York.
Kong, yeah.
Yeah,
to
Brooklyn.
Yeah, going into Mario and meeting Brooklyn. Wow, I met the whole city.
Damn.
That's crazy.
Busy day.
Oh, busy day. A lot of handshakes. Yeah, big city.
A lot of handshakes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's a mystery game, so you're there to sort of put the pieces together and solve that. But
so is the main mystery the explosion?
Pretty much, yeah. You're trying to figure out who did it.
I think a bomb did it.
What if something was stolen? Well, it could have been.
Could have been a bomb that
those
did it.
Those two really go hand in hand, I think.
Could have been a bomb. Could have been a... What else explodes?
Animals on the highway.
Elaborate.
Well, like, you know, like you hit a wombat or whatever and then it fills with gas and then pops. Or like whales do that under the sea.
Yeah.
Do you think you could explode?
I think if I had enough gas
in me. If I hit you with a car hard enough?
If any guy on planet Earth has enough gas in him to explode, it's Jackson Bailey.
I get hit by a car, they get out, they check their car. Oh, damn.
Oh, no, we hit the exploding
then they
one.
Drag me to the side of the road and keep going, and I fill with gas, and then pop. Then a park ranger's got to bury me. They don't bury dead wombats. They turn them into dog food. I don't know. Anyway.
Like that's fair enough.
If you're killed like wildlife, a park ranger has to bury you and not your family.
Yeah, funeral.
No funeral. Sorry. Yeah, too bad.
Sorry, died like a wombat.
The hands are tied.
It's up to the state now. But yeah, there's an explosion that happens.
Yep.
And the explosion has seemed to have caused some memory loss to its occupants.
And also memory losses in like the computer memory loss or memory losses in like the brain memory
kinda.
Loss?
There's a lot of fun play on words with like computer and coding references in the dialogue, which I'll get to because the dialogue's written really well. But that comes to the other part of the game. So one part of the game is the visual novel side where you're making choices, talking to characters, getting information. The other part is where you get to take their identity discs, and what you're really good at as a disciple of Tron, or just query the character, is defragging the identity discs.
Oh.
So it's sort of like you go into this little mini game, which it feels weird to explain as being the core mechanic of a Tron game.
Yeah.
But you sort of get this semicircle of basically cards. There are a number with a suit.
Right.
And you are able to... You sort of have a target number of those you want. It sort of starts like, I don't know, 50 of them. And then you can match it by number or match it by suit.
Yeah.
And you can pick up a card and do it to the one to the immediate left or right.
Yeah.
Or 1-3 spaces to the left or the right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then as the game goes on, the minigames get more complex. They introduce blocking squares that add space in between the ones you can do. They add ones that are going to swap next turn. It just gets sort of crazy. It gets really fun, though.
Yeah.
Because then there's like sort of little mini objectives for you to unlock different disc colors and little collectible things.
What would be your favorite disc color?
What would be your favorite disc color, Jackson?
See-through.
See-through. That's very future.
Yeah.
Well, that's very Tron.
It's Tron. So
I'm going to pick blue because that's also very Tron.
That's pretty good. It's very Tron. It's a bit boring.
See-through's not boring.
See-through's cool.
See-through's
when was the
cool?
last time you saw a blue, like, there's see-through shit all around you. Look, there's a window right next to us.
Glass.
We're surrounded by blue.
Does it still glow?
Yeah, but it's a different blue.
No, it's, what?
Does it still glow?
Yes, but it's see-through kind of like those, like, Nintendo 64s that were see-through.
Oh, yeah.
So you can see my guts.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, it's gross.
Oh, brother, there's a lot of gas in there.
You're the grossest man in Tron.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Freaky. You're about to go to wet grid.
Tron. Somebody clicks on Tron on the computer, they see me, they exit out, drag it into the recycle bin.
They go back to the arcade match, ask to get their coin back.
Hey, I played your game and it was disgusting.
There was a wet Tron?
There shouldn't be a wet Tron. He's going to take it away for repairs.
Yeah.
My Tron got wet? I don't know if... Oh, we've seen this before.
The arcade manager has to Tron themselves into the game to shoot you with a gun.
Yeah,
don't worry, I killed him. The game's good to play again. Thank you.
Just took a magnet to the back of it.
Scrambled my brain.
Yeah, you frizzle up.
Yeah.
That's good. Anyway, back to Tron.
Yeah. So, what were we talking about?
That's
identity disc. So, yeah. You can defrag it. And the first instance of that is once you walk up to the repository, you meet this guy named Grish, who's like head of security there.
Great
He's a real tough guy.
Yeah.
But when he takes you to the elevator, he forgets his code.
Classic
because of it.
Grish.
She was like, I can get that for you.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right.
Yeah.
They do it and he's real embarrassed about it. So
gotcha,
I think that's
Grish.
Really cool.
Yeah, Grish.
I immediately made myself the head honcho of the place. I, like,
that's
just
sick.
Got here.
How's the visual novel elements of it?
It's really cool.
And
so
it's like,
it's
an interactive visual novel in the sense of like you pick, like just decision.
There are decisions and choices that do change the way the game sort of goes ahead. Yeah. I've only played it through once to completion. Okay. And like just started a new one, making heaps. New choices.
Yeah.
So, because I'm really interested in seeing how it does change. Because the sort of ending I got, I'm like, okay, what happens if I side with this person and go,
yeah, was it a satisfying ending the way that you played it? And how would you describe your playthrough?
Yeah.
I guess, was it good? Was it bad? Was the ugly run?
The three options.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I think it ended better than the sort of middle was. I really liked how it sort of crescendoed to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the start had a good sort of mysterious nature to
it. Were you making good choices, though, or bad choices?
There was one choice that as soon as I made it, I realized I was an idiot for doing it.
Damn.
And I regretted it for the rest of the game. But not in like, god damn it, they should telegraph that to me about it. In like I'm a monster. I'm awful.
rock and roll.
I can't believe I betrayed these people in this way.
Just like, erase them. Just wipe the discs or whatever.
For like, it's a short game. It's like 3 hours long.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it really packs a punch in those choices in the story. Like toward the end, as those sort of compounded, and I sort of went down a path and was having to make choices based on a path I felt scared to be in.
Yeah.
Like, this is not where I intended this to go.
That's exciting.
Like, yeah,
that's
it's cool, like, though. Okay, I'm really trying to think about the best ways. Like, I felt regretful. I felt this. I felt that. I was like, all right, this is really getting to the core of how I feel morally this should go, which is really cool.
Do that, so that's good.
Yeah.
What about the, like, because, like, with any game where I have to solve a mystery, I'm notoriously not a clever man. That's a famous thing about me. So, like, with the actual solving the mystery, like, do you have to put the pieces together yourself? Or is it kind of as part of the visual novel, like just stuff sort of revealed?
Yeah. It sort of reveals, at least the way I played it. Like, there was a point where I missed something, it seems, or I don't know if that was a scripted missing of something, like thematic reasons, or I actually did like miss this and didn't mention it to a character. But a character pointed that out to me. It's like, how did you miss that? Like, you're a detective, and I'm like, I'm a detective, I'm not a good detective. Really got to me. The visual novel, sort of the presentation of it, it's not all visual novel,
so
there's sort of incidental, like the sort of cutscene dialogue, I guess, sort of different camera angles and 3D models sort of pose in a sort of static way. So
nothing
really moves in those situations. And it sort of cuts back and forth, like around to different compositions as you go through, like, the sort of internal text of the character. It's very noir.
That's
super noir, like detectives, internal monologue, all that sort of stuff. But then when it gets like questioning a character, it goes to like that visual novel front on Xbox, like 2D illustrated sort of style. But it's really cool. It's like hand painted, but it's sort of projected on a 3D character, it looks like.
Okay.
So it's sort of puppeted. So there's a bit of idling. There's like eyes moving around. They sort of change expression a bit. It's really cool. It cleans up really nicely.
That's great.
Everything's glowing and all that. It's very Tron, Legacy. It's like panel lines glowing like waterfalls.
Tron Legacy
hologram
was cool
waterfalls.
As hell, man.
So cool.
Bring back, what happened? Like, I'm ready for more
it
Tron.
It bombed.
Yeah, it did really
It did bomb at the box office. But, like, this definitely seems like a solid Disney effort at bringing Tron back, which is really cool.
I think,
like,
the world's ready for Tron again.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're going to get Jared Leto in your Tron. You excited about that?
I forgot about that.
Not really.
He's the guy that's in Tron 3.
Oh.
And it's directed by someone else that was, I think the movie's called like Tron Uprising or something.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's find out. Let's just quick bit of Tron news.
Yeah,
quick
this
bit
of is Tron Coin.
I know. Yeah. Tron Uprising is the animated
show.
Okay.
The Emil Hirsch?
Yeah, maybe.
Could be.
We got to get to.
We got to get to the bottom of who.
We got to get to the Tron franchise.
Yeah.
There we go.
Here we go.
Films.
Is this where we get shocked by how much Tron content's out there?
Yeah.
It's all going to be a lot of Tron tent, dude. Heaps of Tron tent out
so
there.
So much Tron tent.
Yeah. We're making Tron tent right now.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Opening the floodgates.
Yeah.
Okay, so the director is...
I feel like there's something like Doug Liman would direct on a whim.
Oh, it's the director of Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Which is... a computer?
Yeah. It was directed by a computer.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, wow.
And before that, it was Gareth Davis, who is director of Lion. That was a famous movie.
The Patel one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Huh.
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 Well.
That's Tron, baby.
That was the Tron Tent update.
Yeah. A bit of Tron Tent.
Yeah.
Yeah. A bit worrying, but at least the video game future's looking bright.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How many thumbs for Tron? I forget its subtitle.
You can guess.
Tron?
It's not Legacy or Uprising.
Tron?
It's Identity. I was giving you time because I also kind of forgot.
Well, there's a bunch of Tron tie-ins. Tron Evolution Battle Grids, Tron Evolution, Tron Betrayal.
Okay.
Tron Betrayal.
Before I wrap this up, I will say there was an iPad Tron Light Cycle game that I was obsessed with as a kid the time Tron Legacy came out. I got so good at that game. I was like doing little maneuvers. I had like tactics. You couldn't beat me.
Either that, awesome. Or the AI was very dumb.
I played a Light Cycle game on PC when I was a kid as well and loved it.
It's great. It's a great game.
You should bring one of those back.
Yeah. Do it in VR.
How many thumbs?
I would give it 4 thumbs.
4 thumbs?
It's a solid game. Pretty promising. I feel like it's a good start to sort of... So like Disney announced that Bethel Games, who made this game, you know, the Thomas was alone.
Yeah,
John Wick Hex.
Yep.
Yeah.
Made this, and they're partnering with Disney on future Tron games.
Whoa.
And I feel like that's a very good move because they love Tron. They very obviously love Tron, and it's a good sort of.
As a pitch, they should have renamed Thomas Was Alone to Thomas Was Tron.
Yes.
To show Disney that they really care about.
Thomas Was Alone.
Yeah, Tron Was Alone.
Tron Wick.
Tron Wick Hat. Yeah. Tron Wick Grid.
Yeah.
Tron Wick Tron, maybe.
Tron Wick Tron. We love
they're
Tron.
They're dropping Star Wars. They're dropping Marvel. Disney is all in on Tron.
We're all in on
Speaking of visual novels, though, I think this has given me the push I need to finally play Doki Doki Literature Club.
Yeah, you gotta do
it. Go for it.
Yeah.
People say it's worth doing.
Yeah, I know. I avoided so long seeing anything from the game because I knew that there was a bad thing that happened, and then I can't remember. It popped up somewhere. I was like, wish I didn't see that. But this has
also
made
somehow know the twist.
Yeah. Well, because
I changed my rating also. By the way, it's 4 Trons out of Tron.
Okay, four Trons out of 5 Trons.
Four Trons out of Tron.
Yeah, 4 Trons out of Tron. It was Tron out of Tron.
It was Tron out of Tron.
Tron. Jackson, grab the door. I just heard the doorbell.
Come
ding dong. We got a doorbell now. Ding dong.
Ding dong. It's me, Mr. Tron. Sorry, Mr. Ads.
Whoa.
I heard you were talking about ads on Tron.
Mr. Ads.
Yeah?
You're a brand new father. I can understand why your brain's a bit scrambled.
Yeah, it's hard looking after my 8-foot-tall child.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you, Ethan.
How's Mrs. Ads?
She's doing good. She's resting up, you know.
That's good.
It's hard to give birth to an 8-foot-tall baby. Baby, but she did an admirable job.
Did you know
I was stuck in Tron for a bit in my youth?
Mr. Rad, you got Tron'd in your
youth? I got Tron'd in my youth for 10 years.
Ten years?
It was in the news.
I don't know.
Gets Tron'd.
What color was your disc?
My color was my disc see-through.
Oh,
that's
Jack
a cool color, Mr.
Rad.
Yeah, I agree, Jackson. Don't interrupt me. Sorry, Mr. Ads. That's okay. Anyway, boys, here's your ads. I'm going to get back to my 8-foot-tall baby.
Yeah, good luck.
Have a good one. And remember, don't get Tron'd.
Okay, I'll try really hard not to get Tron'd.
Thanks, Eves.
Catch you, man.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Interesting development, because he said he gave birth to the Aphus.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I don't know how ads works.
Yeah. His baby ads.
Classic ad man.
Yeah.
Fabricating. Yeah,
that's true. How much can we believe about Mr. Ads? Was he in Tron? No. I don't know.
Hey, I love the guy. Can't trust me.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't the news, so you could probably Google it.
You could look it up. Local man gets Tron. See if it's true.
Now, Jackson.
Yeah.
It has come to the point of the show. Well, we must do one thing.
Yeah.
And that one thing is open up the thumbcrampspod@gmail.com inbox and gaze upon the emails people have sent us.
I do love doing that.
Yeah. Especially people, they've really latched onto a couple of things we said in the podcast.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
The thumb cramps listeners?
Yeah.
No way.
A couple of things are starting to heat up.
Okay.
One is we're getting a lot of suggestions for what to do in May because we haven't announced the May theme yet.
True. Fair enough, fair enough.
And listeners, you gave us suggestions in April too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We gazed upon them and we were like, don't worry, we know what's going on. Yeah. We've decided
we're across
already.
It, okay?
The same thing happened in March and February M-Cube was decided because we thought it was funny.
Yeah.
January had no theme. The theme was, we're back, here's our games of the year from last year.
Exactly.
The theme was only episodes with two guests and only one episode that month.
Yeah.
So, listeners, thank you for the suggestions, but...
Don't worry, we got something in our back pocket.
We got something cooking, and it's not going to be something you would have predicted.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's exciting.
It is exciting. We had some advice on how to get you a power cord. Clearly, people listened to half the episode, sent an email, and then heard the rest of the episode and was like, oh, they sorted it?
Well, that's funny.
So this week, all of the emails, bar the couple I've already discussed, are divided into two categories.
Okay.
Weighing in on if buying video games is embarrassing or not.
Sure.
And two, weighing in on if it's possible to have sex whilst listening to Thumb Cramps.
Both excellent topics of discussion.
Huh.
I will start the email segment with an email that ends with, please don't read my name out.
Okay.
So we will remain anonymous.
No worries.
So this is from ?
Unknown.
Dear video game boyfriends, happy birthday, Joel. That's why I picked this
there,
one.
Yeah,
hey,
fair enough.
Thank
That's
you.
Good.
32 is my lucky number, so I hope it brings you good luck this year. So this person has emailed in and said, a few weeks ago, Bianca emailed into the podcast about a wet dream involving learning German.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember.
I truly wish she hadn't signed off with her name because some of the details in the email made me realize I think I know her in real life. Let this be a warning to other listeners before you think about emailing in.
That's awesome.
I'm going to say I disagree, and I think anyone who signs off with their name is brave. Yeah. And this person, not brave.
Not brave. Coward move. Yeah.
The reason they said, please don't read my name out, I don't want Bianca to know that I know.
Yeah, fair enough. But surely now Bianca can start a process of elimination, right?
Yeah, start with the list of people you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, people that might have listened to Thumb Cramps.
Exactly. Just slowly work it down.
And look, I'm going to do you a solid because you weigh in on the having sex during Thumb Cramps and being embarrassed to buying video games in the next paragraph. But you reveal personal information here that absolutely would make Bianca be able to figure this out. So
We're gonna leave.
I'm not gonna read that paragraph out. Thank you for weighing
sleeping
in.
Sleeping dogs
and
lie. Yeah.
Thank you for saying happy birthday.
Yeah, that is nice.
So this is from Greg.
Okay.
Hello, my gamer boyfriends and
What's
whoever
up,
the guest is. That's you, Ethan.
That's
You're
me.
The guest.
Me.
Yeah.
As I'm not a super big gamer, when I'm excited for a game, it must be big. So as Tears of the Kingdom is coming out, I thought I should pre-order it. I went to the front counter of my local JB Hi-Fi, and the person at the counter was older, so didn't know what I was talking about, and spent 5 minutes trying to find it, all while the line behind me was building up.
No.
Then after all of that, she asked if I wanted the collector's edition. I said no. I was mortified just standing there knowing there was people who actually had things to buy behind me.
Far out.
And now this person knows I'm a nerd who pre-orders games.
But I think...
From Greg. P.S.
Yeah, okay.
As a uni student who's studying to become a physics teacher, it is very funny seeing you guys get things wrong about year 10 science. Oh,
what? No,
Greg!
Greg! Treat us with kindness. Yeah. We are your friends.
Yeah. We stand side by side with you as people who have also pre-ordered Tears of the Kingdom, yeah. Although I did it online.
I did it online.
I still haven't pre-ordered it. I don't want any of the collector's edition.
No, I wanted the collector's edition.
Yeah, you love an art book.
That's got an art book.
Yeah, fair enough. I get it.
If it was a figure, I'd say, no, thank you. Yeah. Art book, I'm like, yeah, I'll look at the art book and be like, cool.
If it gave me like an in-game hat that I would pre-order.
It does.
What does it give you?
There was the, so Breath of the Wild gave you a Nintendo Switch shirt.
Yeah, I know. But does Tears of the Kingdom give you anything? I didn't think it did.
I think there is.
I didn't see anything when I looked it up.
Maybe.
Otherwise, I would have done it.
Maybe
no in-game hat.
No in-game hat.
Not got Jackson.
Yeah.
Dollar.
Not got Jackson dollar.
This next email is from Hunter and is continuing the buying video games isn't embarrassing or is embarrassing debate.
Love it. It is great to hear.
So this is from Hunter, and the subject of this email is buying video games isn't embarrassing. Unless.
Oh, intriguing.
And then they start the email. So that's the subject. And the email immediately launches into answering the question. Unless, of course, you think back to when you bought it for at all for any reason.
There it is.
Hello, my beautiful gamer boyfriends and the slightly less beautiful but equally gamer guest.
That's you, Ethan.
Bit harsh, but that's all right.
That's,
gotta take your lobs.
Yeah. I was specifically referring to the time I went to Best Buy to get Metroid Dread. Mm-hmm. The employee had to go to the back to get it because it was a 9 a.m. It was 9 a.m. on release day and they hadn't put it on the shelves yet. Ooh, that's embarrassing
straight off the bat. That sucks.
The employee made the mistake of saying, of asking, hey, I saw these come in. Why is it so popular? What's a Metroid?
Oh, no.
Which, of course, led me to a 30-minute info dump on Metroid and Samus Aran, as is my right to do so.
Oh, my God.
Didn't think much of it at the time, but looking back, it was incredibly embarrassing.
Whoa.
Thanks, boys. Hunter.
Hunter, no one ever wants to hear somebody talk for half an hour. And I know this podcast goes for longer than that.
But we are not, A, in a Best Buy. Two, it is not 9 a.m.
It's not. It's almost lunchtime.
Hunter, that's awesome.
Hunter adds another awesome story. It's about listening to Thumb Crams, not about having sex.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Hunter works for a delivery company that they don't name but give enough information to make it very obvious. So I'm just going to leave that part out.
Fair.
And I usually connect my phone to the radio. This particular day, it wouldn't connect, so I just played the pod from a speaker in my pocket. So, of course, as soon as I set a package down and a customer walks out of their house to collect it, Thumb Crams would be discussing the intricacies of pussies, bussies, and goosies. I appreciate it. No worries, Hunter.
Anytime, Hunter. I'm always happy to talk all of the oosies. That's awesome.
Now, to bring us home.
Okay.
Subject of this email is, having sex to one of your podcasts is wrong. And this is from, sincerely, a listener. I refuse to have my name attached to this.
Fair enough. Okay.
To my video game boyfriends, I hope this email reaches you well.
It does.
It's nice to finally reach out to my boyfriends. To set the stage, I am a non-virgin, frequent sex haver.
Tight.
And college graduate.
Brag about it.
Pussy slash cock cocked though. Yeah. I have been listening to Thumb Crams since day one, and I sat quietly as listeners confessed their darkest secrets.
Mm-hmm.
I said nothing when Jackson claimed all nudity in video games was there so the viewer would pleasure themselves.
Yeah, it is true.
Which, as Cass, I think, noted, is ridiculous because nudity is not inherently sexual and can be used in art to convey a lot of different things.
Well, that is true.
And I stood by while beta virgin cock listeners, people too scared to go into video game stores and face the hot employees, complained that buying a video game was embarrassing. But no more. The latest Thumb Cramps emailer controversy has rocked me to my core. People are actually having sex to these buffoons? I don't believe them. At the very least, I don't believe it's good. I have had Thumb Cramps, Plumbing the Death Star, and other Sandspan shows playing in my earbuds almost non-stop the last few years. I've consistently had 120,000 plus minutes streamed for Sandspan's radio per year on Spotify, plus the minutes from Sandspan's Plus shows. I do not know what this has done for my health, sanity, or intelligence.
It can't be good.
Nothing good, I assume. I've tried to do just about everything imaginable with your podcast playing, and I know what works. Going to sleep? Check. Giving blood? Check.
Nice.
Shaving my face and balls, double check.
Hell yeah.
Walking across the stage at my college graduation, check. And I got pictures to prove it.
Oh, no.
That's wild. That's,
wait.
Oh, it gets worse. At a funeral, check, what? Baby.
No better way to pay respects to the dearly departed.
A podcast for all occasions.
There are really only a few things listening to your podcast is bad for. For instance, walking through a metal detector at an airport, they get mad at when you forget you've got your AirPods in.
Okay.
But it is impossible to do anything sexual while listening to Sans Pants Radio. I have begun many sexual acts. Eating out a pussy, getting nice. My dick and nuts slopped off.
Awesome.
Full on penis into vagina sex.
Whoa.
Fingering.
Yeah.
Jacking it.
Yeah.
Etc. With awesome. An AirPod and your voice is in my ear, and every single time I have had to stop, tell my partner or myself if I'm jacking it, I'm sorry, I need to take this out of my ear before I can keep going and then
who
can actually get anything.
Why
said.
Is there an AirPod?
Baby driver? Babe, lie down. You put your earpods in and start going nuts.
Plays a metronome.
Tick, tick, tick,
no,
tick.
No, it's the opposite. Yeah. The baby driver the day, but then... Baby driver in the streets and regular person in the sheets.
Earpods in, though.
Yeah. No, AirPods out when...
But they start with the earpods in.
Yeah, they start with the AirPods and they forget. They think they're still in the streets and not in the sheets.
You're not driving a getaway car. You're eating pussy. That's awesome.
Before I can keep going and actually do anything sexy, it's just not possible to bone down while listening to Sans Pants. It's actually especially difficult with thumb cramps because the podcast has taken on this strange aura. Anyone having sex to Sans Pants Radio is having bad sex and disrespecting sex as a concept. I hope we can all come together and agree that it's the wrong thing to do and that we should save our podcast until after sex. Sincerely, a listener, I refuse to have my name attached to this.
It is good for after sex. It's like a cigarette.
And then they added, because there's actually a note when they said that buying video games is embarrassing.
Yeah.
There's then a note at the end that says, I will say, while buying a video game isn't embarrassing and actually makes me feel really powerful and full of testosterone,
nice.
Listening to a Sans Pants Radio podcast is embarrassing, and I fear for one day the TikTok boys will approach me on the sidewalk and ask what I'm listening to.
No. You don't want that.
Yeah. It say pornography.
Yeah, if that ever happens, take your earbuds out and throw them away into a creek or a crick.
What am I listening to? Oh, I'm listening to pornography.
That what was am I listening to? Oh, no, they fell out onto the floor and I've crushed them with my boot. I don't know what I was listening
to. Yeah, I forget. Don't worry, I think, and leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Powerful email.
Powerful, powerful stuff.
Especially because there is emails in our inbox saying, nope, I've had sex to thumb cramps and it's normal and fine.
Here's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
And I hate to ask a question.
Yeah. It is dangerous to ask a question.
But here's what I'm wondering. Is it a neutral experience with the lovemaking, the addition of thumb cramps?
Yeah.
Surely it's not a positive addition.
It has to be neutral negative. Or worse.
Yeah. But if it's negative, it can't be bad enough that you're stopping.
Yeah.
But it can't improve the experience. Do you tune us out? Or are you still listening a bit? While you're getting your pussy ate or your knob slobbed. What's going on there? Are you still listening? You still
what's
like,
happening?
Well, that's an interesting review. Ah! Like, what's, you know?
Yeah, Beast Wars sounds like it's bad.
Yeah, Beast Wars, yeah. Oh, I'm coming. Is that what's happening, listeners?
Is this what you're all doing?
It's infinitely curious for me.
Yeah, it's...
But thanks for emailing in.
Yeah. We need to run a census.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Was sex good? With thumb cramps?
Or was it just nothing?
Yeah.
Or was it bad, but you're like, this will just be a shit lay, I guess.
Or it's like, I'm a bit distracted, and it's fine. If I wasn't distracted, it would be better, but who cares? I'm still having sex.
Are you laughing with a dick in your mouth? or are you like laughing up a vagina?
Maybe that's good.
Is it out loud or like this guy in the AirPods?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe sunken donk or puss or whatever, and then you let a little laugh and
it's
makes
like
it better.
It's on the train. You're just giggling to yourself. Yeah. And everyone's like, what's this guy's
but
problem?
That's a good point, Ethan, because like it's weird, I think, to listen to a podcast on speakers in a house.
Yeah.
You know, like
podcasts should only only be listened to through headphones.
Yeah, that's normal.
Anytime I'm listening to a podcast and like about to have a shower or something, I'm probably just put music on, even though I could continue listening to the podcast.
Yeah, because it feels weird.
Feels weird.
It feels like there's guys in the room.
Yeah. I'm trying to shower here, guys.
Yeah, but then if you're having
either
sex...
help out or shut up.
Yeah. And then otherwise, the alternative is having baby driver sex, but you've got AirPods in, which is weird too. I'll never understand you listeners, but God bless.
Video games, yeah, they're good. And thus concludes PlayStapril presented by Ben. What a month. Today's episode came to a lot of thumbs. Well, actually, not that many, because you hated most of the games you played. But we're not going to do a recap, because frankly, I can't remember what most of the scores were.
Yeah, it's been so long.
But thank you so much for joining us, Ethan, to help us celebrate PlayStapril, presented by Ben. And Ethan, I believe that not only are you the player of games, you are currently making the video game.
Yeah, I am... Also, yeah, making a video.
You're making
a game.
What's he cooking? He's cooking Stray Gods.
Yeah. Stray Gods. What? Yeah. I work at Summerfall Studios, an indie developer here in Melbourne, and we are making Stray Gods, the role-playing musical.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And people may have seen news articles about this because who's in the voice cast?
The voice cast is crazy. We got Laura Bailey. We got Troy Baker. We got Ashley Johnson. We got Mary Elizabeth McGlynn. It's pretty crazy. It's stacked. Watch the trailer.
The trailer was on premiered, I believe, on the Critical Role Twitch channel.
We had a live event, and we dropped the trailer, did some live performances of the songs, because there are songs.
There's songs. It is a role-playing musical.
It's a role-playing musical.
It's pretty sick.
People can add that to the Steam wishlist.
Wishlist on Steam comes out August 3rd, and we got... a public demo coming to Steam next week as part of Lunar Narracon. So
and I believe this is pretty exclusive news, right?
Maybe. I think we tweeted about it once.
Oh, okay.
This is the first time I said it out loud.
Yeah, that's...
That makes it kind of exclusive.
That's pretty exclusive. It's the first time someone said it out loud on a podcast,
absolutely, maybe. That's for sure.
So this episode comes out on Friday.
Yeah, so it'd be a week from then. It's like May 4th to May 8th. Or
May
10th.
4th to May 8th.
Yeah, that's exciting. Ludo Narracon. It's just a bunch of narrative games having the demos out, hosted on Steam. It's going to be super cool. Check it out.
Play it.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ethan.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you so much for weighing in, listeners, with all of those emails.
Yeah,
Keep them coming. Send us an email about a video game, too, if you want. It's all right. It's all good.
Let them know if you love Tron.
Oh, yeah.
Let them know if you go into Tron.
Yeah, you got any Tron tent you want to send our way?
Send us some Tron tent.
We love Tron tent.
Shout out Tron tent.
And we'll see you all next month, listeners, when Thumb Cramps goes international to Sydney.
Yeah, that's right. We are crossing the sea to Sydney. You say Thumb Cramps has a weird aura now.
Yeah, imagine we're recording it in a car.
Yeah, it's going to get dangerous.
It's going to get good. So we'll see you next month, listeners. And until then, game hard and stay out of Tron.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.